First Kings chapter 17. Last Sabbath evening, we considered Elijah and his mission. He had been sent to Zarephath. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And regarding this mission that Elijah was on, we noted that the Lord had sent him to a certain place. The Lord is never haphazard or vague about where he sends his servants. He makes it very clear and very plain. And it was made plain to Elijah that the Lord wanted him to go to Zarephath, and to that place that belonged unto Zidon. He spent about 12 months at the brook Cherith, and now it was time for him to go to that particular place. We noted that for Elijah it was a distant place. He had to travel about 100 miles. For Elijah was also a dangerous place, because it was a place that belonged to Ethbaal, the father of Jezebel. He was sent right to the very backyard of those who sought his life and hated him. We noted also the person that he was sent to. He was sent to a widow woman there to be sustained by her. She was a chosen woman. She had been chosen by the Lord of all the widows in Israel. The Lord had chosen a Gentile widow, bypassing all the widows in Israel, choosing this particular woman to serve Elijah. She was a commanded woman. For the Lord said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. Just as the Lord had commanded the ravens to feed Elijah, so the Lord commanded this woman. The ravens, the birds of the air, and even this woman were under the command of the Lord. We also need to pray that the Lord would ever command us, that we will be willing to yield to his commands and yield to his will. She was a commended woman because the Lord spoke of her in his first sermon in Nazareth, there in Luke chapter 4. And then we noted the provision. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And the Lord was going to sustain Elijah. Not in a palace, not in the dwelling place of a king or some rich person, but a widow woman. And my, when he got there, really the picture may have been worse than he ever imagined, as we will see this evening. So we considered then Elijah and his mission. Tonight I want us to look at Elijah and his ministry. For Elijah was sent to Zarephath to be ministered to by this widow woman. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. She was to minister to Elijah. But we find that while he was ministered to by this woman, Elijah also ministered to her. But first of all, let us notice the providence of God. God's providence in this whole matter. Let us go back again to what the Lord told Elijah there in verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Don't go wandering about. Don't stray from the path. But go to that place and dwell there. Stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Note the words. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now we see the providence of God in the words of verse 10. For in verse 10 we read, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering sticks, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So there we see the providence of God. Remember, Elijah has walked, traveled 100 miles from the brook Cherith. He has gone to the gate of the city. And as he arrives at the gate of the city, we're told the widow woman was there. The providence of God. The widow woman arrived at the gate of the city to gather sticks at exactly the same time that Elijah arrived. Even though he traveled 100 miles, anything could have happened in that space of time and over that journey that would have delayed him. But instead we find that Elijah was there and he arrived on time. And the widow woman came to the gate and she arrived on time. God had planned it all. And his plans never fail or go awry. Turn over, please, to Luke chapter 22. And in Luke 22, we read there in verse 10. The disciples are preparing the Passover for the Lord. And we read in verse 10, and he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. The Lord said that he will lead you to the guest chamber where there is a room prepared. And we read then in Luke 22 and verse 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. In other words, the Lord said that when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And so there's the disciples, and they go into the city, and they go to that place, and lo and behold, they meet the man with a pitcher of water. There's the providence of God. It wasn't a chance meeting. It wasn't a coincidence. God had planned it all. The Lord had planned everything. And the moment the disciples arrived at the particular given place, there was the man, bearing a pitcher of water. My, isn't the providence of God a wonderful thing? Isn't it a comforting thing to know that our lives are ordered and guided by the unseen hand of a sovereign God? The same is related to us in Genesis 24. For in Genesis 24, and there we read about Eliezer, Abraham's servant, who's gone out to seek a bride for his son Isaac. And we read in Genesis 24 and verse 12, and he said, that is Eliezer the servant, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. There's the meeting. In the providence of God, Eliezer is at the well of water, And the chosen bride for Isaac comes to the well of water at the same time. There was no coincidence. It was no chance meeting. It had all been planned by the Lord. As Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will. And notice again those words in 1 Kings 17. That the Lord told Elijah, I've commanded a widow woman to there to sustain thee. And when he went to the gate of the city, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. She was there in that place. She was in the place the Lord would have her to be. And Elijah was in the place the Lord would have him to be. In other words, Elijah and the woman were in the place where God could use both of them. He used the woman to minister to Elijah, and he used Elijah to minister to the woman. Just like the lad who was there that day on the side of the mountain along with the multitude, and he gave the bread, the loaves and the fishes to the Lord. What was it Andrew said to the Lord? He said, there is a lad here. There's a lad here. You don't have to go and look for him. You don't have to go and search for him in the midst of the crowd. He's right here. And the lad was there in the place the Lord could use him. Elijah was there in the place the Lord could use him. The widow woman was there in the place the Lord could use her. And dear Christian, we always need to be in the right place. We need to be in the Lord's place where the Lord can use us. And when we are where the Lord wants us to be, then he will use us and he will bless us. We need to be in the place the Lord wants us to be. Seeing God's providence, we next notice the gracious petition. Evidently meeting this woman at the gate of the city, Elijah was convinced that this was the woman the Lord had told him about, because he addresses her immediately. Verse 10, and he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. Gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. There was his petition. Look again at verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. What does he ask for? He asks for water. He's asked for bread. But he's not finished. Look again at verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. So he asked for water. He asked for bread, and he asked for a cake. And there you have the wishes of Elijah. This is what he wished for. Now you'll notice carefully that Elijah was not very demanding in what he asked for. First of all, he said, bring me, I pray thee, a little water. Just a little. And then he said in verse 11, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. So it wasn't very much. She was able to hold it in her hand. And then he said to her, bring me a little cake, a little water. A little cake. And the widow woman had spoken to Elijah and said to him in verse 12, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil. He asked for a little water. He asked her to use the little oil. And he asked her to give him a little cake. Everything that he asked for was on the small side. Little. He wasn't very demanding. I think of Elijah in contrast to the so-called prophets of today. Not just like Elijah. I'm not interested in the little things. They demand large fees. They want to stay in the most expensive hotels. And then interested in the little things. But Elijah didn't ask for much. He didn't ask for much, but think of it. It was all that the widow had. That's what he asked for. He asked for all that she had. Little bread, little water, a little oil. She didn't have much. But Elijah asked her for all that she had. Does this not remind us of another widow? The widow that is mentioned over in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 21. And in Luke 21 we read in the opening verse. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow. Poor widow. Described the same as the widow in 1 Kings 17. And he saw also a poor widow casting in thither two mites. Wasn't much. It was little, a little offering. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she hath. She had given her all. And when Elijah asked for the little water, and asked for the little oil to be used, and asked for a little cake, he was asking this woman to give her all. And she wasn't just giving this on to Elijah. What she was giving it on to the Lord. Because Elijah was the Lord's servant. And the Lord had told Elijah, the widow woman would sustain you there. She was doing this really for the Lord. And she was giving this unto the Lord. I wonder, would we be prepared and willing to give our all unto the Lord? That's what the widow in Luke 21 did. She gave her all. And what the widow in 1 Kings 17 did, she gave her all. It may have been little, but it was her all. Both were ready to give all that they had for the Lord and his work. The wishes of Elijah. But then you have the willingness of the widow. The Lord had commanded the widow to sustain Elijah. And so what she was doing was in accordance with the will of the Lord. And the Lord's will was her will. She was willing to give everything that she had. And so doing, this widow showed a great willingness. A willingness to care for God's servant. But as we've already pointed out, what she was doing was giving to the Lord. We see that taught by the Lord in Mark chapter 9. For in Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, The Lord says this, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink. That's not much, is it? A cup of water. That's all Elijah asked for. All he asked for was a little water in a vessel, if you like, a little water in a cup. And the Lord, addressing his disciples, said, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water in my name, if they do it as unto me, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, ye shall not lose. He shall not lose his reward. As the Lord was sending out his disciples, he said, anyone that gives you a cup of water in a vessel, or gives you a cup of water in my name, he's giving it on to one of my own. And it's like giving it on to me. And so the widow of 1 Kings 17 demonstrated this great willingness. This reminds us of the words of Paul in Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Paul there said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Well, Elijah was a stranger to this woman. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. We know the word angel means servant. And this woman was certainly not forgetful to entertain this stranger, for this stranger was indeed a servant of the Most High God. And she indeed, as the Lord said in Mark 9, she would indeed receive her reward. This woman ministered unto Elijah of her own substance. She ministered unto the Lord using what she had of her own substance. We read about those in the Lord's day who ministered unto him of their own substance. For in Luke chapter 8, there in Luke chapter 8, in the opening verses, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. What they had, they gave to the Lord. What the widow woman in Luke 21 had, she gave to the Lord. What the widow woman in 1 Kings 17 had, she gave to the Lord. It wasn't much, but she gave it. Let us all be ready to minister unto the Lord of our own substance. To give to the Lord of our own substance. Remembering the words of David, neither will I offer unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. What the widow woman gave to Elijah cost her everything. But David says, I will never offer unto the Lord that which doth cost me nothing. I will never offer to the Lord that which is not a sacrifice on my behalf, on my part. Quite a sacrifice for this widow. Because she gave Elijah her all. And in so doing, she gave it to the Lord. The willingness of this widow woman shows how she was willing to give to the Lord first. Isn't that what Elijah said? In verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. She was to give to the Lord's servant, and as it said, in giving to the Lord's servant, she was giving to the Lord, and she was to give to the Lord first. And so must we, believer. We must give to the Lord first. Over in Luke chapter 9. Luke 9 and verse 61. The Lord is speaking to his would-be disciples. Verse 59 we might read first of all. And he said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. In other words, the Lord was saying, you're to put me first. There's nothing your father can do for you now. Let the dead bury their dead. Come and follow me. You're to put me first. You can never be a disciple unless you put me first. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, these would-be followers and disciples were ready to put other things first. But the Lord said, you're to put me first. And we're to put the Lord first in all things. We're to put the Lord first with our tithes. Our tithes are to be the first thing that we take care of. Out of our salary, the first fruits belong to the Lord. We're to put the Lord first in our tithing. Some people say, and I've heard individuals, Christians have told me this, have said, well, you see, if I tithe, I wouldn't have very much left over for myself. And I would say to them, well, that's the reason you don't have much left over for yourself. Because you're not tithing. You're not putting the Lord first. When you put the Lord first, you'll have plenty left over. We're to be first with our tithing. First with our talents. Give the Lord our talents first. Use our talents for the Lord and the extension of his kingdom. And our time. What time we have, we're to give the Lord first. He's to come first with our time. So Elijah said to this widow, make me a little cake first. Her willingness. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, verse 15. There's her willingness. Now you think of that. What she was been asked to do. A little water. Maybe the last drop she had. A little oil. It's all she had. A little cake. She gave it everything. And she was willing to do so. And then you have the gracious or the glorious promise. It's always good to be given a word from the Lord in times of poverty and adversity. Good to get a word from the Lord at all times, but most certainly in times of adversity and extremity. And Elijah had a word from the Lord by way of a glorious promise. which he passed on to the widow. There we read in verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and rest it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son, for thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. There's the promise. Promise from the Lord. And I notice that this woman was ready to believe the promise, because she went and did as Elijah had said. She believed the promise. If only we showed the same readiness to accept and believe God's promises. See, as Spurgeon said, our problem is that we more often than not frame God's promises instead of claiming God's promises. We frame them and we look at them. That's a great promise. But we ought to claim the promise. Call on to me in your day of trouble. Call on to me and I will show thee and answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We're looking for the great and the mighty things. We need to call. We need to claim the promise. We have her readiness to believe. And her reward was blessing. The Lord will always reward those who will believe His promises by fulfilling His promises to them. You know, some think that this was a little selfish of Elijah to ask the woman to make him a cake first. She said, we only have enough, or I only have enough for my son and I. That's all we have. Elijah says, well, go and make me a cake first. And some think that was a little selfish. Not at all. It wasn't selfish of Elijah at all. Because you see, Elijah believed the Lord's promise. The Lord told Elijah the cruse of oil will not fail. And Elijah believed that. And that's why he was able to say to the woman, go and make me a cake first. It's all right. Because the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Elijah believed the Lord. And he was calling upon the widow woman to believe the Lord. And evidently she did. Elijah knew the Lord wouldn't forget His promise. He knew the Lord would not fail in fulfilling His promise. And that's why he was able to say to her with confidence, go and make me the cake first. After all, the poor man had walked 100 miles. He needed something to eat. And then we've notice Elijah and the miracle. Here is the first miracle mentioned in relation to the prophet Elijah. And then we behold a great miracle. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. There's the miracle. It was a great miracle. And yet I see that her giving is described as little. As we pointed out three times, you have the word little. Little water, little oil, little cake. And she gave her little. But see how the Lord multiplied the little that she gave. The lad gave very little to the Lord. But the Lord took the little that he gave and fed the 5,000. He multiplied the loaves and the fishes. What a miracle. This reminds us that little is much when God is in it. In the harvest fields ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the Master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. And does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, for he will not forsake his own. Praise the Lord. For little is much when God is in it. Does that not encourage you tonight? Encourages me. And does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, for he will not forsake his own. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. It was a great miracle. It was a gracious miracle. This was a poor widow, but the Lord would not forget this widow. He has already said that. He has already promised that. In Exodus 22, I read these words. And in verse 22, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. The Lord pities the widow. The Lord says, I will care for them if they cry unto me. Regarding this gracious miracle, we note the precept. When the widow gave all she had to the prophet, she wasn't so much obeying the words of Elijah as obeying the words of the Lord. We see that from verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. We see it in verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. No matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how hard it may be to understand what the Lord is telling us to do, let us obey his precept. Even as the widow woman did. And then you have the provision. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Do you see how quickly the whole situation changed? How quickly and how dramatically. A few verses before, she says, I'm gathering these sticks to make a little cake for my son and I, and then we're going to die. Things were looking very bleak, were they not? But now we find that she was able to feed herself and her son, and indeed her whole house. How quickly the Lord can change things. How quickly the Lord can change our circumstances. As he did for this widow. You notice the size. The situation was changed suddenly. Look at the size of the provision. The size of it. She said she had only enough for herself and her son. But we discover she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many, many days. And the margin says that the words many days, or the word days for many is in italics, refers to a full year. There's the size of the miracle. And the size of the provision. She only gave a little. But she gave her all. And what did she receive in return? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. If you don't give the Lord very much, and yet you can give much, then you'll not get very much back. But if we give the Lord our all, the Lord in return will give us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Let us not be stingy with the Lord. Let us not hold back in our giving to the Lord. And then you have the period. For as long as there was a need in that house, well then, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. Believer, rejoice tonight. The Lord does not fail. The fact that the oil and the meal did not fail was an indication the Lord doesn't fail. Our trust is in the God who never fails. Let's take encouragement tonight from this ministry of Elijah in Zarephath. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our Lord and gracious Father, we pray again that would write the word upon our hearts. May we take encouragement from it tonight. May we rejoice in the Lord. That if we give, then it will be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Even as a little chorus, children's chorus goes, my cup is full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be, for my cup is full and running over. O Lord, come and fill our cups tonight, and have us, Lord, to give unto thee our all. It may not be much, but if it's our all, Lord, thou hast said we shall receive our reward.